Good morning. After a long day of shopping, a husband and a wife stopped at a grocery store. The husband said, "I'm going to run in really quick to pick up a few things," and he left his wife in the car. As he approached the checkout, he was surprised to see his wife there waiting for him. "Honey," I said, "what are you doing in here?" "I left the motor running." "It's all right, hon," she replied assuringly. "I locked the doors." Now, I hope that didn't put that somewhere in the back of your mind and you end up doing that this week. It's not my fault. Last week, we started this message series entitled, "I Love My Church." And I hope that you do. If you don't so much, maybe by the end of this six-week series, maybe you'll see that maybe you ought to love your church. I don't know. But I hope you love your church. I hope you love the church. After all, it's the church that Jesus gave his life. That the church isn't something that people just thought, well, we ought to get together and worship together, and that'd be a great idea. No, this was God's intention from the start. And the church began in Acts chapter 2 and continues to this day. And the church is very important. And we talked last week that many people have ideas in their mind about what church is like, what it's about. And oftentimes, they judge the church based on what's happened to them in the past. And it's almost always something negative. And so they figure, well, that church did this to me or acted that way or whatever the situation might be. So that's just kind of how all churches are. It's blanket across the whole church. It's how all churches must be. And so what's the point? But we talked last week that Jesus is the head of the church and we are the body. And you can't separate the head from the body. But that the head, being Jesus, is over the church and we are the body working together to resemble Christ. And more people will be attracted to the church when they don't see us, but that they see Jesus in us. They see Christ. And I think that's what so many churches are lacking, is just to see Jesus in the church. Because it's Jesus that makes the difference. It's not you, it's not me. It's all Jesus. We talked last week about how we should love radically. And it can be very difficult at times to be intentional, as we talked last week, in loving people. And the love that God describes, how we are supposed to love others, Christ loved us, so we should love others, is that agape love. It's a love that there's no strings attached. It's not, well, I'll love you because you did this for me, or I'll love you because you're like me. But it's a love that has no boundaries, because that's the exact same way that God loved us. And we are to love radically. And we start to take these steps. We'll be resembling Christ, and it'll be attractive to people. And they are predetermined ideas of what church is about or like. Maybe that would be shattered, and they would see Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, Paul says, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ." And so this morning, what we're going to talk about is growing intentionally. That we need to make a decision in our minds that I want to grow as a part of the body of Christ. Not just be a part of the body, but be a part of the body that wants to grow. That makes a decision. I don't want to just belong, but I want to be a part, and I want to grow spiritually so that I can achieve what it is that God wants me to achieve. So we as a church body can achieve all that God wants to achieve through us. And if we as the body decide, I don't want to grow, I don't want to be strengthened in my faith, then that's going to be damaging to the church, and those who are outside of the church, they'll see that. That we aren't sold out 100% deciding, you know, I want to grow, I want to change, I want to be more like Christ each and every day. I don't know if you've ever been maybe on a vacation and you've done those cutouts where it's maybe somebody's body or maybe an animal and you step up on the steps and you put your head in the little oval and you snap the picture. Maybe you've done one that like a big strong man, or, you know, big muscly guy, or maybe a lady in a bathing suit, it's real pretty. And then you stick your head in there, it doesn't quite match, does it? And it's comical to do that. It's funny. You take those pictures, you look back on them and think, the face, that didn't quite match the body, right? But for you and me, spiritually speaking, and as the body, we are to try our best to grow intentionally so that we as the body can resemble the head, that being Christ. And it's important that we take this seriously. Because God has intentions for each and every believer to continue to grow in their faith, to not be stagnant or selfish, and do nothing to help support the body. But we need to be intentional in growing in Christ. It's something that we know we ought to do, but oftentimes it's something that we don't do. In Colossians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul gives us some direction in this. In verse 6, "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ." So then how is it that you and I can grow intentionally? Paul tells us here, continue to live your lives in Him. And so once again, it always starts with Christ. So it says in verse 7, "Rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." And so as we walk with Jesus in this life and we choose to grow intentionally, walking with Christ kind of describes going back to the same path each and every day. It's describing a well-worn path. And maybe you've seen in the woods where deer, they walk each and every day. And you see that well-worn path. It's very obvious. This is the path that the deer take each and every morning, each and every evening. It's very obvious. And for you and I, we keep going back to Christ. We keep following Christ day in and day out, trying our best to grow intentionally. And perhaps others will see that path and think, well, I wonder where that path leads. And perhaps they would choose to follow along that path as well, and that would lead them to Christ also. But that all begins with you and I choosing to grow intentionally so that each and every day we as the body can resemble Christ as the head of the church. And if you choose to do that, you'll be showing God, yes, I love my church and I want to grow intentionally because I want for myself and for the church body as a whole to be as strong as it can possibly be so that people would see Christ in us. And so, how is it that we achieve this? Well, the first thing the Apostle Paul says is that we have to be rooted in Christ. In life, we're going to find ourselves planted somewhere. We will plant ourselves somewhere. And the Bible would describe that we are either planted in the world or we're planted in our faith, in the Spirit. And which do we choose? And often we kind of go back and forth. But we need to choose to be planted and rooted in Christ. To grow, you have to be planted in fertile soil, and that's in Christ. Jesus is the soil for the soul. He is the source of our growth. And so we need to find ourselves rooted in Christ. And when we do that, then we'll be choosing to grow intentionally. You will not be able to grow in the world, but we grow in Christ. And when we grow in Christ, you'll be able to withstand the storms of this life, the droughts of this life, the frustrations of this life, the disappointments, the hardships that we endure. When we're rooted in Christ, we can withstand that. This term rooted, it means a once for a lifetime decision. It's a commitment where there's no turning back. It's not rooted when I feel like it or rooted when it's handy, or rooted when life is getting hard. Oh man, I better hunker down and root into Christ. But it's rooted for a lifetime, and there's no turning back. Jesus talks in Matthew on the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 7, about this. In verse 17, Jesus says, "Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them." And it'll be very apparent to the world where we have ourselves planted. And so we must choose so that we can produce. That's the purpose of our life, is to produce fruit. That people would see Christ in us. That's our purpose. And so we must be rooted in Christ so that can be accomplished. This isn't always easy. We know that Jesus was both God and man. And Jesus was human, and at times He was tempted. And He faced struggles, yet He was still perfect. But there would be occasions when Jesus felt the weight of this world, where he would leave his disciples, he would go off by himself, and he still needed to be with the Heavenly Father. That he would spend time in prayer with God in those pressure-packed moments where temptation was strong, where life was difficult. And you got to think about this. If Jesus needed to be rooted in God, how much more do you and I need to be rooted in God? And so Jesus gave us the example that we must continue to be rooted in Him. And it takes intentionality to stay rooted. Growth can happen. God is able. But we have to choose to be rooted. And we're all at different levels in this. We're all at different levels in life and what's going on in our lives. But regardless of the level that you're living right now, God is always calling you to Him. Saying, be rooted in me. Be rooted in my Son. Regardless of where you're at in life, He's always calling you to Him. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 19, Paul writes, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone." The second way that we grow intentionally is to be built up in the truth. The term "built up" is an architectural term that God is continually building each and every day. That we're never a complete work. But that it's a picture of each and every day God is building us in a way that He sees fit for our lives. What's going on in our life at a certain time or a certain moment, He's continually at work building us up. And we have the tendency to come to church and it's kind of like, well, I checked that off the spiritual box for that week. I went to church and then we go home. Yeah, I mean, I went. And God is wanting to do great work and He's wanting to build you up. But we miss out on so much because we don't take the worship of God as serious as we should. And we'd be surprised what God can do when we would take worshiping God seriously. The work that He could do in our lives, the way that He could build us up, would really surprise many people. Oftentimes, we rush in the doors to get here, to rush out the doors to get on to the next thing. And in between, we miss out on opportunities to be built up and also to help build others up. Because we're in such a hurry to get here and to get out that we take what happens here for granted. We take for granted what it is that God is wanting to do through you today as we worship corporately as the body. And God is wanting to build you up, and He's wanting to use you to build others up as well. Oftentimes, I kind of think of it like this. It can seem like the Kentucky Derby. The last song is sung, and we say, "Have a great week," and they're off. I got to thinking about it this week, and they're off, and the busy workaholic, he takes the lead. And as they approach the lobby, here comes, "I don't like to wait in line," followed by closely, or "Where are my kids?" And on their heels are "Hungry and bored out of my mind." And out of nowhere comes "Tiny Bladder." And I know at times we have busy lives and we have things, appointments and things we have to get to, but we should take this time where we come to worship seriously. Because God is trying to build you up. And when we meet as the body, this is so much different than throughout the week. Yes, God works on you each and every day, but when we come together as the body, God is wanting to do something great. And He is wanting to build you up, and He's wanting to use you also to build others up. But when we take this opportunity on a Sunday morning to come together for granted, then God's not able to do through us what He wants. And when we choose to isolate ourselves and choose not to grow, that's when Satan's licking his chops. You ever watch The Animal Planet? Which gazelle does the cheetah pick out? It's the one all by himself. And the Bible describes that Satan comes to seek, kill, and destroy. And when he sees you isolated, not choosing to grow, he can't wait to pick you off and take you away from the growing body of Christ. And so we have to choose to want to grow. There's a story about Billy and Ruth Graham. A couple decades ago, they had went out shopping, and they took a different route home, and they came up to some road construction. What was an area that probably took them 5 more minutes to get home, it took another 20 minutes as they waited in line, bumper to bumper, getting through construction. And once they got through the construction, Ruth Graham looked off to the side, and she saw a sign that said, "End of construction, thank you for your patience." And she looked at her husband and said, "That's what I want on my headstone." And you might be thinking, "Well, I mean, that's Ruth Graham. I mean, she's a tiny fixer-upper. Come on. For me, I'm a major overhaul. They're going to have to tear down the whole house and rebuild because I'm a mess." Maybe you are, but God is able. God is able to do measurably more in your life than you realize or give him credit for. But if you choose to be a part of the body of Christ and grow intentionally and be built up in the truth, God's word, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, God is more than able to do that for your life. The third way that we grow intentionally is to be strengthened in the faith. How much different would the world be if, as followers of Christ, we truly wanted to be strengthened in our faith each and every day? That it was something that we chose intentionally for our lives. And I have to be honest that there, you maybe have been a member or attended here 5, 10, 20, 30 years. You don't serve anywhere. You don't attend a Bible study or a Sunday school class. And you wonder why it feels like your faith hasn't changed much in the last decade or two or three. And I have to be honest, it's up to you to make the choice. Whether you want to be a part of the body of Christ and grow intentionally and to be strengthened in the faith or not. It's your decision. And I would urge you to make the choice to be plugged in and to be strengthened in the faith through the study of God's word and serving others. Because whether you realize it or not, your spiritual life depends upon it. Just like strengthening your physical body. If you don't, the body fails. I'm kind of weird. I like to lift weights. And I had lower back problems a couple of years ago. And I thought, man, how am I going to overcome this? I'm not that old. And I'm sick of my back hurting. And I did a little research that maybe my back's not strong enough. And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to set out to make my back strong, I guess. I started doing deadlifts when I go lift weights and working at it hard, and it was helping a lot, and I haven't had a back problem now for over 2 years. And a year ago, I had made a decision, I want to be able to deadlift 400 pounds. Trista thought I was a complete idiot. And I started studying how to do it correctly. You don't want to just hurt, you could hurt yourself. And so I figured it out, and I started working at it as hard as I could, and last summer I accomplished it. I deadlifted 400 pounds. I was so proud of myself. And I thought, you know what, why stop now? And so I kept working at it. I wanted to strengthen my back because I do not want to have back problems as when I get older, because I don't feel like I'm that old yet. I might look at it, and I got the gray in the beard, and I got more hair on my face than my top of my head, but I'm not that old yet. And you know what? I thought I'm going to keep working at this, and I kept strengthening myself. And you know, last week I deadlift 500 pounds for the first time. If I would have decided, you know what? I want to deadlift 400 pounds, and I just walked in the gym, put it on the barbell, walked over to try to pick it up, I would have tore every muscle in my body. And my wife probably would have kicked me out of the house. Come back when you feel better. You're just an idiot. And spiritually speaking, it takes hard work to grow spiritually, to be strengthened. It does. I don't want to paint a rose-colored picture for you. It takes a lot of hard work to strengthen yourself in the faith. And you're never going to arrive to a moment where you feel like you've made it, I'm strong enough. But that God wants to every day continually strengthening you so that you can be a viable part of the body of Christ, so that people would see Christ in you and people would say, that person must love Christ. They must love the church. And if you want that for yourself, then you have to choose to be strengthened in the faith, and you've got to exercise those spiritual muscles each and every day. And God will never be done with you in this process. God will never quit on you. He will always be there guiding you through. It's only when you choose to quit on him and say, I'm done. And so Paul lays out here that when you're rooted in Christ, you're built up and you're strengthened, then something happens. Something happens when you do these things intentionally. He says that an overflowing thankfulness, it exudes from the growing believer. That when you accomplish these things and you're rooted in Christ and you're being built up and you're strengthening yourself in the faith and God sees you growing in what's happening in you, something happens. An overflowing thankfulness. This overflowing thankfulness is an active, grateful, not one time, but all the time attitude. It's not even something you have to think about. It just happens because you've grown so much in Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 5, Paul says, "Your faith and love have arisen from the hope laid up for you in heaven, which you have heard about in the message of the truth, the gospel, that has come to you. Just as in the entire world this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, so it has also been bearing fruit and growing among you from the first day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth." You see, God is at work growing the church, not just here in Pena, but all around the world. And he's saying it's arising to God, and God sees this. And he sees the attitude of a person who's growing in him, and they're thankful for what it is that God has done. And that transforms the people around them because they start to see Christ in the church. And I'll keep saying this over the next few weeks. It's not about us. It's not about our methods. It's not about our programs. It's none of that. But it's always about Christ. And one way that people can see Christ in us is if we choose each and every day to continue to grow in Him. When Jesus is the center of everything, then this church, people will see it. They'll take notice that Jesus is a difference maker in people's lives. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, Paul tells Timothy three things that happen when we exercise the Word of God in our life. The first thing is, he says that it teaches us. And I got to say, there's a lot of things I need to learn. I'm nowhere near where I need to be when it comes to knowing more of God in my life. And I hope that you would have that same feeling as well. That I need to know more. God needs to teach me so much still in my life. And when we exercise the Word of God in our life, it's able to teach us. He also says that it's able to rebuke us. And I think this is something we need more often than what we realize. That the Word of God teaches us, but it also stops us dead in our tracks and points out the things that maybe need changed. This needs to happen here, this needs to stop there. And God's Word, it rebukes us. It might make us uncomfortable, it might frustrate us, it might make us mad. But in a way, it's supposed to do that. Because God's Word is there also to give us some correction. Also, it's there to train us. It's there to train us each and every day so we know what it is and how it is that we be like Christ. And the different ebb and flow of life, God is able to teach and train us in different ways according to what's happening in our life at that time. There's nothing like the written Word of God becoming an active Word in our life. And I hope that you choose to grow intentionally. Valentine's Day is right around the corner, guys. We're almost at the end of January, Friday, I think. And I got to thinking about Valentine's Day. And what if for Valentine's Day you had a decision? Do I give my wife a bouquet, a dozen red roses, or a rosebush? Say, here's a dozen roses, here's a rosebush. Which do you think your wife would want? It probably would want the dozen roses. They're beautiful, they smell good. Maybe you're going to have some family or friends over, and she'll put them in a vase on the dining room table, put off an aroma in the house, and she'll be able to brag on her husband that he actually got me flowers this time. Because the rosebush, well, what's that represent? Well, you're going to have to wait a while. Can't go planting outside yet. But eventually, that's going to cause what? Work. And so we choose the beautiful bouquet of flowers. But what's the difference here, really? Well, the bouquet of flowers, that's quick, easy, and enjoyable. But the rosebush, it's going to cause you to have to wait a little bit. Can't plant it in February, unless you live in Florida maybe or something. And it's going to cause you work, and it's going to take some time. But you know what? How long are those roses that are in the bouquet going to last you? A week, 2 weeks, maybe, I don't know. But what about the rose bush? If you get it rooted, and you build it up, and you strengthen it, it's going to produce you flowers, roses, over and over and over again. And oftentimes, spiritually speaking, we choose the beautiful bouquet of roses, and to me that represents the world. Yeah, it's quick and easy, it looks great, but it's only going to last you a short time. But spiritually speaking, if we choose the rose bush, yeah, we're going to have to be patient. Yeah, we're going to have to work hard. We're going to have to get it planted and get it rooted. We're going to have to build it up and strengthen it. But guess what's going to happen? It's going to produce a fruit or a flower over and over and over again. And as long as we choose to grow intentionally, and that's what God has in store for your life, that He'll continue to grow in you and you'll produce over and over and over again and on into eternity. And this morning we're going to sing a song of invitation, offering you the opportunity to receive what it is that God desires for you, and that's His Son, Jesus Christ. That He wants to plant you in Christ so that you can be rooted in Christ, the soil that will help you grow and be mature in Him. If you'll make that choice this morning, we welcome you to make Jesus your Lord and Savior. And a lot of us in this room have, and we're going to sing this song of invitation. And might we be reminded of just how much God loves us and that He wants us to continually to grow in Him, to be rooted in Him, that He can strengthen us and build us up each and every day, even when we feel like maybe we're not worth it or we're too far gone. He's always at work in your life. Let's stand. Let's worship together.